Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Bala Bello. Enjoy the Spirit.
Hail the King that reigns forever. Hail the Lord that reigns forever. He is the King of glory. He is the King that will perpetuate the throne forever and forever. His kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. His dominion is without an end. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Lord of all. He's the King of glory. He's the one that sits on the devil. We hail the King of glory. We hail the Emmanuel. We hail the wisdom of God. We hail the word of God. We bless your name. We worship you. We adore you. We magnify you. We cast our crown before you. We cast our glory before you. We cast our honor before you. We cast our atonement before you. And we crown you as the King of all. Thank you, dear Father. Oh, blessed be to the name of the Lord. Lord, we give you praise. Awesome. You are awesome. Awesome in your kingdom. Awesome in your glory. Awesome in your power. Awesome in your majesty. Who is there like you among men? Who is there like you among kings? There is no one. Kings came, they have left. Their remembrance were no more. But thou alone is King eternally. We bless your name. Thank you for the privilege to reign with you. Thank you for the privilege to call us into this kingdom. Thank you for the honor that you have bestowed on us, those that are called babes, those that are insignificant before the creature. But you have perfected our strength in order to avenge your enemy. Father, we bless your name. We worship, we adore you. Thank you because King is in our midst. King is in our midst. The Lord has come into our midst. The Lord is reigning in his church. The Lord has come to the place of his glory, and his kingdom shall be established here on earth. No one can contend against him, for it is ordained from the eternity past, and it shall come even in the eternity now. We will all see and behold the kingdom. We will all see and bow even in the kingdom, because he's the King of glory, the only one that is ordained as King eternal. We bless you this morning. We worship you, we adore you. Do that which only King can do. Honor your name as a King. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, glorify your name as a King. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let every other king that intend to raise their head up against this King, let them be perpetually subdued. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let their remembrance be no more. Let your kingdom be established, even here on earth as it is in heaven, forever and forever. This is what we have for. This is what we represent. This is why you came. This is why you ascended. This is why you came and give gifts unto men, so that your kingdom shall be established. We see the establishment of your kingdom. We proclaim your King even upon the earth, forever and forever, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you because you are going to give us word. We will publish your word. Among the heathens, we will publish your word. Among the saints, we will publish your word. In the kingdom of the earth, for the conversion of this kingdom, even into the kingdom of heaven, we will publish your word. We receive grace to publish your word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive utterance from heaven. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be to the name of the Lord. I ask you to anoint these lips of clay. Turn it to the lips of the Spirit. Let it bring the meal of the Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let food come to the house. Let men eat to their satisfaction. Let them drink to their delight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name we are praying. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the church, and we thank God for the church. Praise God. And so this morning, I want to talk about the New Testament saints. Praise God. The New Testament saints. The New Testament saints. Pastor has been teaching about New Testament, but I want to specifically talk about the New Testament saints. The expectation of the New Testament saints. Can you quickly give me the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18? For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Verse 19, I'm reading it to the last. By which also he went and preached unto the spirit in prison. I want you to pay his particular attention unto that verse 19. By which also, please go back there. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is souls, were saved by water. That was a very bad business. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the feet of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus. The last verse. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Father, we trust you again that you will teach us this word. You will shed light to it. You will bring us into the place you have desired for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that the New Testament has an intention, and there is a lot of relationship between that New Testament and New Testament saints. Praise God. There is a lot of relationship between the New Testament and what? And the New Testament saints. Praise the Lord. Now, the New Testament saints became a quickening spirit, not a quickening soul, because of the Testament. Praise God. The New Testament saints become what? A quickening spirit, not a quickening soul, because of the Testament. Now, having tested the Testament, what Testament does for them is to quicken them, and they become a quickening spirit. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. Let's quickly look at it. He said, and as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made what? A living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, this verse was just an introduction of the stuff that the first Adam was made of, and the stuff the second Adam was also made of. And we can't get into the nitty-gritty of those things until we read it down. Verse 46. How be it? In other words, he says something that is in relation, or that is in relationship with the first verse that we have read. How be it? That was not first, which is spiritual. In other words, the first Adam was also a spiritual person. Praise God. The first Adam, in his realm, is also what? A very spiritual person. As a matter of fact, it takes a spirit to relate with the spirit. You can see him having fellowship that we desire before the fall with the Father. He could walk step by step and line by line, and he could sit down with God for discussion. They can discuss, they can relate. And it takes only the Spirit to relate with who? With the Spirit. So the first was also a spiritual, but also a natural. Praise God. But that which is natural. Even though it was spiritual, there is this natural tendency for him, and we saw the inclination of that natural tendency when he ate the fruit. He became perpetually a natural man. Praise God. He became perpetually a natural man. So he transits from being a spiritual person into what? Into a natural person. And after all, that which is spiritual. Now, is that addressing the New Testament saying? Because there is also an intention to transit us from that state of fall into another state, which is what? Is spiritual. Do you understand? So, in other words, there is need for us. It was a prophecy. It was an intention. It was a goal. It was the purpose of the Lord coming. So that which is natural, we also what? Become what? Become spiritual. Verse 47. Now, the first man is the ark and arty. And the second man is what? Is the Lord from heaven. 48. As it is arty, such are they also that are what? Arty. As the first man, after the fall, became arty, so are all of us also become what? Arty. So we cease from being a spiritual person, we come into the place of carnality. We come into the place of natural person. So what relates with us again is not God. What speaks to us again is not God, but our senses. Our five senses, our natural senses. That is what relates with us. That is what teach us what to do. That is what instructs us. It was not an instruction from the Spirit, from God, who is a Spirit. God is a Spirit. And he that we worship him must worship him in what? In spirit and in the truth. So it was not the Spirit again that was relating with man, but natural senses. So the natural senses was activated, and so it became an instructor and teacher of man. Praise God. Praise God. Now, verse 49. And as we have borne, now I want you to listen to this. As we have borne the image of what? Of Ati. We shall also what? Bear the image of heavenly. That's the goal. That's the intention. And that is the purpose. That is the essence of New Testament. So that we will transit from earthly person. And we will become a heavenly person. We will bear the image of the heavenly. Listen, bearing the image of the heavenly is not when you died. A lot of people are not going to bear the image of heaven, even when they die. Praise God. What they will put on is the image of corruption. Now, before you can put on the image of heaven, you must first and foremost be conscious and be aware of it, and you must have put it on right in the heart. Praise God. You must have what? Put it on right from on the heart. Because that's why he said, as we have borne the image of the heart, we shall also bear the image of what? Of the heavenly. Because it is good for us to have a deeper understanding of the testament which was given and bestowed to the New Testament saints. So that we will cease from being natural person and we will come to the place of spiritual being which Adam was in the beginning. Hallelujah. Do you understand? I hope everybody understands, because it is important for us to understand much more so when we are just talking about the issue of teachers and teaching without understanding. So that's why I'm laying emphasis on that that you must understand this simple thing because it is grammar. Do you understand? It is grammar and it's there. Now, let's go back to the 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, I've said this, and there is need for you to understand this truth. Now, the difference between the Old Testament sin and the New Testament sin is the testament which each and every one of them tastes. Do you understand? It's the testament. The testament that was presented unto them. That was what makes difference. Now, the testament that was given unto the Old Testament saint was preserved, was adhered, was followed to the letter. Praise God. And they are not going to be judged based on that. Do you understand? In other words, they are not going to be judged based on the New Testament principles. They are going to be judged based on the Old Testament principles. What was given, presented unto them, is the Old Testament. Even though this testament is a testament of depths. But most importantly, it was to prepare us for what to come. So, we now begin to look at this verse 18 of the 1 Peter chapter 3. He said, for Christ also had once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might what? Bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but what? But quickening by the Spirit. Quickening by the Spirit. Now, two significant things here that we must notice. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ is to teach the New Testament saying the death which they must also suffer before they can experience the quickening of the Spirit, especially in the flesh. They must come to a place of putting the flesh to death before the Spirit is activated and quicken their soul and they become a quickening spirit. Now, this is not the responsibility of anybody but your own responsibility. It's a subjection. Have you forgotten what Paul said? He said, to who you yield your members to, such you are the servant of such. When you yield your flesh, when you yield yourself to flesh, you have become a servant of flesh. In other words, flesh will activate and it will introduce carnal things. It will shut you out completely out of the spiritual things. You will not have an understanding of spiritual things, but what you think about is carnal thing. Carnal thing. Listen, carnal thing is very subtle. Praise God. I don't want us to miss it, but I don't want us to misunderstand it again. Carnal thing is very subtle. People think that carnal thing is fornication, this and that. Those are low level operation of carnality. I'm telling you the truth. Those are the low level. They are carnality, but they are low level of carnality. Now, carnal things is when all your strength, all your might, all your effort is activated toward things of the world. Praise God. So you come to a state when you are carnal and you don't know that you are carnal. Very subtle. You come to a state when you are carnal and you don't know that you are even carnal. You go to church, you are in choir, you are a pastor, they ordain you as a pastor. But everything that comes out of your mouth is carnality. You can't bear the image of the heavenly. Because you are not spiritual. You are not talking about the spiritual things, which is the testament that was bestowed on us and was tested by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Praise God. So it's a very subtle operation. When you see somebody in the world, he's an adulterer, he's a fornicator, this and that and so on, it's easier to save such people. Do you understand? So easy to bring them to church. So easy for them to come into a place of repentance. But a carnal person is that man who goes to church every day, who preaches the message every day. But what? He activates his strength and his energy over and again is carnality. Is carnality. Now, again, don't forget that the scripture that we read also confirmed that we are also earthly, but we are not earthy. Because there is difference between being earthly and being earthy. So, if we are earthly, we need to understand, we need to come to a place of balance. When we weigh ourselves, they call it measurement. Where we put ourselves upon the scale. What is my motive? What is my goal? What do I want to achieve? When I come up here, what is in my heart? What is in my mind? Now, what I am doing could become carnal. It could easily slip into carnality without me knowing, without anybody knowing that this guy has fallen into carnality. Praise God. I was telling to one of our sisters on Friday, I said, listen, you can't judge God. You can't judge what God will judge. He's the accurate judge. He's the one who gives judgment. He will just come over and he will judge an issue and say, this is the way God is going to. This is strange. And it's strange to us. So, in other words, on each day, our actions and our motives are being put upon the scale, spiritual scale, for what? For judgment. So, we must continually weigh it and look at it. What is our motivation? What is engineering us? What is our drive? Why am I doing what I am doing? Where do I walk? Where I walk? They are athletic things. But in the context of the operation of those things, he is a spiritual contact which God wants you to attain. I don't know whether you understand though. I just pray that God will help us. Praise God. So, but if you don't know the intent that, okay, I am just to go to office, maybe I am the director of works. That's not the reason why you are made a director. That's not the reason why you are made a director. That's not the reason why you are put where you are. There is spiritual undertone. That's not the reason why you are doing what you are doing. There's a spiritual undertone. There's an element of God, the dimension of God, that God wants to introduce in that field. And you could easily become active in that place, and God is going to judge you. Unworthy servant, unfaithful servant, we give you this, you mess it up. Praise God. Now look at verse 19, because of our time. But by which also he went and preached unto what? Unto spirit in prison. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Give us Ephesians 4:8. Look at what Ephesians 4:8 says. Because we need to really understand this scripture. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led what? Captivity captive. He led captivity captive. So the prison that people thought was that, oh, he went to preach to Noah. He did that. As a matter of fact, they were the first fruit. Do you understand? Those people were the first fruit of that New Testament. They were the first fruit of that New Testament. They were the one who first partook of it. Because once he went to the grave, he began to minister the testament unto them. And for all of them that embraced the testament, they rose up with him. The scripture confirmed that they were all seen in Jerusalem. They were physically walking. They came out of Sion. They came out of grave. They came out of grave. So they were the first testator. They were the first partaker, not the testator. They were the first partaker of that testament. Now, but the second partaker of that testament is the new testament saying that this testament, listen to this, it was not a new testament when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth. As a matter of fact, the configuration of Jesus of Nazareth does not have capacity to bring us into that testament. His configuration, his wisdom, his stature, his knowledge, everything that was in Christ does not have capacity to bring us into that testament. It does not. Until when he ascended into heaven, a testament was activated. And he tested the testament through death. Okay? And so, the Bible said that, wherefore, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity what? Captive. He led captivity captive. Now, the word captivity captive is very important and instructive, because now it shows that though we are called into liberty, but our liberty is limited to the definition of the testament. I don't know whether you understand. So our liberty is limited to the definition of the testament. We define our liberty through this what? Through the testament. That's why he said he led captivity captive. In other words, when he brought captivity out of prison, he put captivity, the one that is captured, to himself. This is where you stay. You can't go beyond this. If he on his own go beyond this, he has stepped out of order. Do you understand? He has stepped out of order. So when we are talking about liberty, we have liberty. No. You don't have liberty to do anything. If we are not given liberty to walk anyhow. We are given liberty to walk in the context in which Jesus Christ has defined the testament. That is the operation. That is the intention. That is the purpose in which we are called. And the Bible said that he gave gifts unto what? He gave gifts unto men. Now, if you go back to 1 Peter, verse 19, look at what he said. Because there is a connection between the gift that he gave to men and this. He said, verse 20, please. He said, We sometimes were disobedient. You know, when Paul was giving the definition of New Testament, he said, you are sometimes what? Disobedient. You are sometimes darkness. You are what? Sometimes darkness. But now when you hear to the scripture, your eyes of understanding is what? Is enlightened. And you have become obedient to faith. You have become obedient to faith. He said, we sometimes were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is a soul, was saved by water. Now, I've spoken about that. That when he went down, he also preached to those Old Testament saved, and he brought some of them out. Do you understand? Now, verse 21. Look at verse 21. Now, the like figure, we are that figure. The like figure, we are unto even baptism. Don't forget what the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8 says. He gave gifts unto men. In other words, he was talking about the baptism of the New Testament. He was talking about the baptism of New Testament. So it is not just the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was just a seal of the testament, that you are a member of testament, that you are part of the testament. So when he was talking about this, baptism does also now save us. This is what saves us, the New Testament. He baptized us into a New Testament, which have capacity to what? To save us, to deliver our flesh, to quicken and re-energize us into the things of God, not putting away the feeding of the flesh, but the answer of God's conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, look at it. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God? Angels. You know, now, as a result of this testament, when he was going to heaven, he did not go alone. For we were what? Seated together with Christ in what? In heavenly places. We were seated together in Christ in heavenly places. Each and every one of us. So when he was going, he brought us. No, he did not only bring us to God, but he gave us a throne.
That seat is a throne. That seat is authority. That seat is dominion. So, he said, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God? God. Angels and authority and power being made what? Subject to him. To the intent, the principalities and power might be what? Might be made known to God. The manifold wisdom of God. To the intent, the principalities and power might be made known. In other words, powers, principalities, authorities and dominion, they are not strange or precious to you. You can handle them as a result of your baptism into what? Into testament. You can handle them. You can effectively take care of them. You just, oh, this is it. This oppressor, I know where this oppressor is coming from. And what do? You shut down. Do you understand? So you cast down. There are certain things you cast. You just cast down. You just cast down that oppression because of the testament. Now, you can now begin to see the reason why it is important for us to embrace this testament. If we are called in the testament, say, we don't have any mill that could build us, that can make us, that can effectively prepare us apart from what? From the New Testament. So when Pastor was teaching that thing, and every one of us has been encouraged, it was when he was preaching that message yesterday that I got this secondary illumination. I just got this secondary. I said, okay, I catch you. Like Mrs. Oedo, okay, we say, I catch Pastor. Do you understand? I just got it and you know, it was stored up in my mind until I lost my sleep. That's what you said, ma. I lost my sleep because those things was just a burden to me. It was just a burden. And I began to look at those truths and those facts. We are New Testament saints, and what we are called to eat, the meal that is given unto us, is the New Testament. I'm not saying that we should not read Old Testament. Don't get it wrong. Do you understand? Listen, of course, when you are talking of Old Testament, start from Matthew. But beyond that, the book of Psalms is not even Old Testament. I don't categorize it as Old Testament. The book of Isaiah is never an Old Testament. They were not talking about anything old. But everything they talked there was new and future. Do you understand? So you now begin to see how these things were interwoven, how these things were interconnected, so that the saint who is the serious, who is hunger, who is thirsty, can search out for this thing and become what God has made him to become. I pray that the Lord God of heaven will raise you up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His purpose and his intention for this age shall not be truncated. Every word of prophecy that has been spoken about this church, about you as a person, the Lord will bring them forth in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be an oppression, and it's going to be a new paradigm, a paradigm shift in the church. A paradigm shift in the church. Many will come to this light. They will embrace this light. They will be guided by this light. Their lives shall be motivated with this light. And in this light, we will find their oppression. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust the Lord God of heaven, the Father of the Spirit, that you will bring your church into such, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. Holy Spirit, we are grateful for illumination, for understanding, for utterance. Blessed be to your name. For Jesus Christ's name we are praying. Praise the Lord. It's grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers, but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pdtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Dialysis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Futa South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pdtchurch.org or call 080-372-6099. Grace be with you. It's your grace.